I want to speak to you this morning about the requirements and the benefit of closure. Now, I'm not talking about running away, giving up, quitting, and hopefully you're not having the thought in your mind when I announce the title of the message, well, I'm really glad because I've had it. No, if you've had it, you need to do something different than closure. You have to deal with some things if you're in a had it kind of scenario. But there is closure in a positive way. And I hope to unpack this for you this morning. I've found this really helpful. At times in life, the Lord will show us and reveal to us that it's a situation of closure. And that means that His hand's been in it. And He is ordaining, He is sanctioning a closure. Not a running away from responsibility. I'm not talking about that. Hello? I'm talking about a season of time when things change. And coming to the end of the year is a typical season of time of change, right? You're looking forward to having your income tax appointment soon, right? How many look forward to that? You must get a lot of money back. Let's talk about that after the service. A little bit of laughter. I think you really wore yourself out. Christmas. Season of change. Coming to the end of the year, it's like, think about it in that way. It's kind of a, aha. It's a good closure. It's a good end, unless you don't know about closure, unless you have allowed some things to pile up and they have been unattended or you've attempted to attend to them, but you didn't get it done, and so you're carrying this heavy weight. Well, what can be done? Maybe you will not be able to escape the responsibilities of that heavy weight that you carry into the end of the year, but still, it is a time and a season for some closure. Even if you can't escape some responsibility, and maybe there be some responsibility that you would like to close but can't at the end of the year, you can still have closure for the load. Hello? You can still step into His presence with some of the principles that I'm going to reveal to you this morning, and you can have a closure to the weight and the load. And even if you must go on into the new year with some responsibilities you'd rather not have, you can be refreshed and renewed. You can start new. You see, you can't start new and afresh if you didn't have some closure. A new start requires a closure. We need a new and a fresh start. And those that learn about this, you probably have a lot of fresh starts. Some folks have one daily or a couple of times a day. If you're in a stressful situation in any one particular day, if you understand this concept, then you probably have some closure and you start fresh. If you're doing something that requires some repetition, some over and over, maybe in your work, and sometimes it's exhausting. Well, here it is again. And also, as you know, what can be most taxing is if you are experiencing the same pressure, same load, same defeat often. That's difficult. An answer must be found, just so we understand that God allows the pressure so that we seek the answer. Hello? And that we don't attempt to provide a way of escape for ourselves, because if we provide the escape, is it an escape? Question. It's not. We have self-provided simply because we wanted to escape, and there won't be benefit for us. We'll get to repeat whatever it was that was causing that pressure and that dilemma. We're aware of that. God has a way, right? And usually God's way seems not the right way to a man. So therefore, what happens to a man is his way, is what he employs. And the way of self takes us to death. How many want death? I want some death to self. Because self takes one the way of death, right? So if we're going to have an escape, we need an escape that is revealed to us by God through His ways. But a more general principle is closure. Closure of one door always results in the opening of another. Are you with me? Some people close doors, though, just because they want an escape. And another door opens. But it's not better. Oh, it may seem so on the front. But seldom is it. Especially if we don't do things God's way. Now, consider this. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past." Now, in many ways, that should seem encouraging to you. Don't think about all that. Don't think about yesterday. Don't ponder it. Look, this applies to even if it's positive. Maybe, how many would say generally this that 2019 has been a good year for you, generally? Wow, most hands up. That's encouraging. How many expect 2020 to be a better year than 2019? I am impressed. How many think you know how the election's going to go? Not so many hands up. How many know how you'd like the election to go? Not that we're trying to get political here. Boy, somebody found that really funny over there. I could easily get off to that. I mean, I really could. But do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Look, closure is simply a closing of the door to yesterday. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to even give the motive. Sometimes there simply needs to be closure. Just close the door. Done. How good are you at that? How many are good at closing the door? Three of us. Let's go to lunch. You're buying. See how easy that is? Just close the door. Well, I have to be pretty angry before I close the door. How's that working for you? Well, I'm usually mad at someone else when I close the door. How's that working? It's just a principle. It doesn't have to incorporate an emotional illness, an emotional tantrum, a flare-up. It's just a principle. Click. Pay your 2019 taxes. You close the door to the IRS. Everyone wants to do that, right? I mean, everyone wants to do that. Pay them what you owe them, Jesus said. Give Caesar's what is his. Maybe a little more. Two people laughed. Look, the past is past, whether it is positive or negative. Many of us only are focused on the past that is negative, and we want that past, and often we're willing to close the door on it, as long as we can look through the keyhole. Huh? You know what I'm saying? If you were to keep time, how often and how long that you focus on the negative past as compared to the positive past, how many of you think you would be thinking more about the positive past? Let me see. Those same six people were going to lunch. We spend more time focused on the negative past than we do the positive past. And oftentimes the negative past is smaller in amount than the positive past. Why do we spend so much time on the positive past? Or not? We spend too much time on the negative past because we fret and worry, even if comparatively it is much smaller and less in amount than the positive past. Consider that next time you're having some thoughts. And so the past can be the past, needs to be the past, if we will learn to have closure and close the door on it. And the principle is in this category. Closure is simply generic. It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. You can still close the door on the past. Even if you've got a lot of positive in your life, you have learned this over the years, I'm confident. You can't live even on yesterday's positiveness, can you? It's not enough. We can't, if you go to lunch with a half a dozen good old boys like me, we'll probably end up talking about the past a bit. How good it was. And we'll be telling the truth. It was good. Now, you don't know that if you're young because you weren't there. But you still want a 57 Chevy, don't you? Huh? Well, maybe you want a 1965 Dodge A990. How many know what that is? Come on, Mike. You do. What is it? Tell us. How much money would we need to have to get us one? A really premium one. They go for between $250,000 and $500,000. I had one. 1963. You're all looking at me funny now. It's positive past, but depending on the light of how one looks at it, it becomes very negative very quickly. I don't have it now. I sold it for $1,300. Back in 1966. What an idiot. Are you beginning to get this a little bit? It's the principle that works all the good of God for you, not the circumstance of a particular positive or negative. It is God on the throne. It is heaven ruling and you embracing the principle of closure when there's need and opportunity for it. In a way that God would work through. Without closure, what happens? You acquire baggage. Whether you've got a lot of positive or a lot of negative, closure is God's answer for avoiding baggage. If you had some hurtful situation in this year, give it up. The nice thing about closure is you don't have to justify. You don't have to rectify it. And you don't have to nullify it. Did you get those fives? You just close. Click. I'm done. If you can't do that, you're going to suffer. There may be some things that you don't close the door on that you ought to, that will beat you down, that will rob, kill, and destroy. Now, I'm not talking about irresponsibility. I'm simply talking about this principle of God, closure. Now, healthy closure requires four things. Here they are. Closure requires complete acknowledgement of what happened yesterday, positive or negative. If you can't identify, if you can't acknowledge that it happened, even if it was terrible, step away and close the door. You won't really close the door, and you'll bring it up maybe in just 10 minutes' time. You'll be back to thinking about it when you close the door and supposedly left it there. You've got to be able to acknowledge it and to choose to let it go. Number two, closure always requires choosing a definitive transition away from the past. I am closing the door, and if you're closing that door, you're opening another one, and you're headed in another direction, motivated by something other than what you closed behind that door. Hello. Maybe you failed in some kind of way. Close the door to the failure unless there's something you're responsible for. Deal with it responsibly, and then close the door on the whole thing and head in a new direction through a new door. Hallelujah. Glorious, is it? And the potential is so wonderful. So closure always requires a definitive transition away from. If you just close the door on it, say, okay, I'm done with that. But I'm just going to wait here outside this door just in case. No. Leave there. Move on. Another direction. Number three, healthy closure removes imposed or perceived limitations about tomorrow's possibilities. If you got to drag that bag of you-know-what with you, it'll keep stinking up your tomorrow. Close it there. Seal it there. Head in another direction. That way your tomorrow is not hindered by your yesterday. If your tomorrow is hindered by your yesterday, your tomorrows are going to be very limited. Maybe even stunted and hindered. Number four, healthy spirit-led closure is never an escape from responsibility. Number four, healthy closure is never an escape from responsibility. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. No. It's not that. This is finished. This is done. And I just bring closure to that. You don't have to have a 30-minute grumbling session. You don't have to prove to somebody else how terrible it was and now you get to close on it. Let it be generic. It doesn't have that much impact. It doesn't need to own you. The circumstance of it doesn't need to dominate you. And especially your emotions. Hello? Why do I say especially it shouldn't dominate your emotions? Because there is where we get a wound and we get a disappointment that's hard to get away from. It's like Christmas time. My wife bakes every great thing under heaven. I mean, pies, cakes, cookies. Oh, cookies. I love cookies. Hard to escape those cookies. And then after you've had the cookies, you pass by the pie. And then it's time for dinner, and there's homemade, what we call dinner rolls in the South, right, Stan? They're 2.5-3 inches tall. In a square, about 2.5 inches. And heavenly. Just gold like a field of wheat on the top. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Then when they come out of the oven, she takes a 1/4-pound stick of real butter, takes the wrapper off, turns that baby upside down in her hand like that, and just rubs it across those hot rolls. You all look happier now for some reason. I don't know how this is working, but it's working. Close the door to yesterday and bring on the dinner rolls, butter and all. And right out of the oven, that butter on there, and maybe a little whipped honey and a hot cup of herbal tea. We talking the same? No. Close the door to your yesterday. Leave that thing. Don't hang around. Don't hang around there. For in your tomorrows is your dinner roll. You ever look in the mirror of your yesterdays? There's some joy there. And there's some unhappiness. But when you look in the mirror of your tomorrow, this is a bit of a trick question. How sharp are you? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. What do you see in the mirror of your tomorrows? Well, I don't know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Well, maybe you ought to. Talks about removing the veil, looking into the mirror of Jesus Christ. And there, we don't see ourselves, but we see the image of Him who is in His glorified state. And that glory, the essence of who He is, radiates on us in our tomorrows. Hello? Close the door. Yesterday. Great time right now. Maybe you've carried some things through the year. Maybe there could be a few people here that have carried some things for a lifetime. Let's close the door on them today. Right here. Let's walk away from that. Especially if it's negative. But even the positives. Because if your high point is yesterday, then what high point do you have for any vision for your tomorrows? Hello? I'm 71. I've had some high points. Close the door on those. I could tell a lot of stories about my yesterdays. But if all I do is think about my yesterdays, I won't have any high points in my tomorrows, and I want to have them. Hello, do you? Do you want high points in your tomorrow? Okay. Moving on. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you're still thinking about what you left behind the door that you haven't yet closed, it will hinder, even nullify you getting any vision for what God would do. You see, 18, verse 18, he says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Rolling right into verse 19. Behold, I will do something new. He'll do something new. The fix is not in getting rid of the yesterday. The fix is in getting to the something new that He will do in your tomorrow. Are you with me? Come on. You've got to leave somewhere to go somewhere. You can't stay where you've been to get where you need to go. See, See, a new thing can only spring forth closure to our yesterdays. Now, why is it difficult for people to allow closure? Well, maybe the past has been really good to you. If you were in the stock market this year, you made money. Right? Anybody make any money? Good. This is just a little prophetic side note. There's more to be made. Rocket's going to launch. It's already launched. I mean, what is the stock market changed? 50% in 3 years. Hello. Now, it could drop like a stone. But if it does, there'll be a reason for that. So the past has been good to them, so they don't want to lose it. Number two, the past has been very painful for them, so they only want the future. When they have not closed the door on the past, the door to the past must be closed. Look, in God's economy, destiny achievement always requires a journey and a process. What are the twofold components of the journey and the process? Two simple things got to happen in a revolving way. Closure and moving on. Closure and moving on. Closure and new beginnings. Just keep happening. Hello? When you interrupt that cycle, when for some reason you don't pay attention to it, for some reason you say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm just going to dwell in the past. Not going to work out well. If you say, well, I'm just going to think about the future, my tomorrows, I'm taking no responsibilities for my yesterdays, that won't work either. Two things, reciprocal. Close the door to the past. Have a new beginning. Maybe the new beginning and what you closed of the door of the past are the same topic, same subject, maybe even involve the same person or people. Hello? But if it's a new start, it will be an opportunity to accomplish what you have not accomplished in your yesterdays. But that must be present. Close the door to yesterday. Have a new start. Open a door in today. Romans 15:4 tells us this. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Well, what was written? The Apostle Paul's testimony and instruction about closure in Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen to that? There's a lot of principle in those few words. What he's talking about is the twofold important concept. Close the door to yesterday, begin anew. That's how he presses on. Now, what do most people do? How do you fix those kinds of dilemmas? What's your pattern? Mostly, we stop something, we quit something, we escape something, thinking that everything will be okay then. But then we find that it's not. Remember, I started this little talk. I'm not talking about being irresponsible or having an escape. I'm talking about closure that God not only would allow, but he would sanction. Hello? So therefore, you're not doing sin trying to escape a problem to get to something better. That'll never work. He'll always call us back to our sin for repentance. Then the door can be closed to that. So Paul says he doesn't regard himself as having laid hold of it. Laid hold of what? Ultimately, what he wants to do and what he wants to achieve. But he keeps reaching forward. If you have not arrived at who you choose to be in Christ. Key is, close the door to the failures, start new, move forward. It's your greatest opportunity. That's what he means for us to do. Now consider the testimony and the outcome of Paul for the application of Philippians chapter 3. He writes the bulk of the New Testament. In Acts 14, he is mistaken as a god. And he's the most notable author in the New Testament. He accomplished a few things by pressing on, closing the door to yesterday, pressing on into what he had vision for and what God was calling him to, and not getting encumbered with a bunch of baggage. Let me close here in Hebrews chapter 11. This is profound, and you know this story. Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 11. Story about Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't geographically and in fine geographical detail know where he was going, but he knew where he was going. He closed the door to where he was and he just headed in a new direction. He didn't know the destination of that direction, but he knew that he was to close the door of where he was and to head out and to trust God by faith to get to the destination that God promised him. Did he get to that destination? He did. He did. Nowhere in the scripture does it tell us that he sat around and worried and fretted for 2 or 3 years before he started the journey in the process. Hello? Hello? Now, everyone knows we have to worry about this. Right? Or, seems like the scripture says something about, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God, who is faithful, is he faithful? Will provide for you that you may be able to endure it. Endure what? Closing the door and by faith heading in a new direction even when you don't know the detail and the arrival place. Huh? Profound. Verse 9, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise. He gets to the land that was promised, but he's living like an alien. What should one do then? Start to fret and worry. I mean, major on that. Get really good at it. Grumble and whine and even do a little a bit of B-I-T-C-H-ing. Forgive me. If you're offended, forgive me. I want you to remember what I'm saying. Stop it. Don't go back there. You don't have to get something condemned or someone condemned for you to get to your promised land. You just need to follow your God, know His instructions, and head out. If you left anything undone, stop and close the door on. Don't go in the room, though. It's ugly in there. You'll start in again with the you know what. And if you have on someone else, go back to them and say, I ran my mouth. And I grumbled about all my trouble. And I blamed others. I was looking for an escape by justifying my errors rather than being justified by a holy and righteous Jesus. Please forgive me. I'm leaving now. I'd be happy enough if you come along with me, but you'll have to probably close the same door I closed. Let's be gone now. Hello? By faith, he lived in it as an alien in the land of promise, as a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God has foundations. He has a way. Close the door. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive. Even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Would you stand with me, please? God has made us some promises. And my question is, will he keep them? He will. There are simply some conditions for our application. Some simple questions for your response today to the invitation. Would you be willing to choose closure to your past, negative or positive, so that you can have a new beginning in this year? Second question is, do you want the potential of a new beginning in your tomorrow? Or only what's left in your yesterday? And lastly, would you like an impartation for appropriate, healthy closure? If you can say yes to any one or all three of those questions, would you come join me this morning? And we'll worship the Lord and expect the presence of His Spirit to come. And then we'll minister to one another. Healthy closure that is by the Spirit.